We're going to continue our study tonight on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We started last week on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We defined those gifts, and we also read all of the passages in the New Testament that list the gifts of the Spirit. And we gave general categories for what the gifts of the Spirit are, what they actually are, how they're used. There are administrative gifts. There are functional gifts. There are sign gifts. There are gifts intended for edification. Other gifts intended for authentication and validation, such as speaking in tongues in the early church. And then we also look that there are some gifts that are permanent, that are operating even today in Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. But there are also temporary gifts. And we didn't go into detail on that or great specificity, but we will as time goes on. But tonight, well, just give you a review of those gifts. The gifts that were given as signs were tongues, miracles, and healing. Gifts used so the church can operate efficiently, helps and government, and showing grace to those who need special needs, showing mercy. But a large number of gifts concern the ministry of the word, teaching, preaching, prophesying in the early church. There are certain gifted men in the church, pastors, teachers. Originally there were apostles, but there are no apostles now. But tonight I want to get to the source of the gifts of the Spirit. Where do all these gifts come from? Well, the gifts have a twofold origin, the gifts of the Spirit. First of all, they were given by Christ. They were purchased by Him when He died on the cross and when He rose from the dead and when He ascended into heaven. He gave gifts unto His kind of church. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the gift of the Spirit is described as an ascension gift that the Lord poured out upon His people. But the gifts are also said to be given by the Spirit, who emanates from Christ, the third person of the sacred Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is a real person, gives these gifts unto men. And we'll go ahead and read that passage again because we'll refer to it several times in the course of our study. 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, meaning it's the Spirit who has given these diverse gifts. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So how do we reconcile the gifts of the Spirit were given by Christ Himself, and the gifts of the Spirit are given by the Spirit? Well, you have to understand that the Spirit was bestowed upon the church by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the promise of the Father that Christ spoke of in Acts chapter 1. The Spirit has been called the ascension gift of Christ to the church. Again, we've read this before, but we'll read it again. Acts 2:33. This Jesus hath God raised up, verse 32, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And the reference is to what occurred on the day of Pentecost, in the outpouring of the Spirit, where Christ baptized that first New Testament church with the Spirit. And there were tongues evident in that work. So the Spirit, having thus been sent, produces within us needed spiritual abilities. Now, the next question is, to whom were the gifts of the Spirit given? I believe everybody that's saved has spiritual gifts. It says so in 1 Corinthians 12, even though 1 Corinthians is addressed to the church of God, which is at Corinth. But he does say in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And I take that to mean every man that's saved, that's indwelt by the Spirit. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Now, there's a reason why I'm making this distinction, and you'll see it in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, one spiritual gift that everybody that's saved has is faith. I mean, that's a fruit of the Spirit. If God didn't give you saving faith, you'd never have been saved. You would have never been saved. So anybody that's saved, and I want to make this so clear, anybody that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That crosses all cultures, all races, all denominational lines. Salvation is wholly, entirely bound up in the work of Jesus Christ. And salvation has never been limited to a denomination. Anybody that says only Catholics that are in the Catholic Church are going to heaven, they're liars. Anybody that says only Baptists are going to heaven, they're liars. Anybody that says only Pentecostals are going to heaven, they're liars. Only those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ are going to heaven. So across that gift of grace crosses every line. And everybody, the ground becomes level at the cross of Christ. And I'll tell you what, anybody that preaches a denominational salvation is a false prophet. Anybody that ties salvation to a church is a false prophet. Because you see, you're born into the kingdom of God. You're born into the family of God as far as you're concerned, but you're baptized into the church of God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Acts chapter 2 and other passages. So, while all saints have spiritual gifts, yet it is correct to say that those gifts were given to the church. And all Christians are not members of one of the Lord's churches. He has set some in the church, not all. I've met Presbyterian brethren that I believe are born of the Spirit. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb, but they are not in the church. You cannot believe in infant baptism and say that you're a member of one of the Lord's churches. That's a complete polar opposite of what Christ commanded. So, all Christians are not members of one of the Lord's churches, but the Bible reveals that you ought to be, that you ought to seek out a New Testament church. Now, the church is the proper sphere for the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts were given for a particular reason, for the spiritual development of the body of Christ. Now again, I've got to make this. The Bible likens the church to a human body, with eyes and ears. And when I think of a human body, I think of something that is actually visible. I mean, I'm looking at Emma. What's Emma's middle name? Jane? Who cares? Emma Craft. All right? I'm looking at her right now. I can tell that's her body. All right? She's put together. Oh, look here. There, I see Ella Craft. She's invisible. Is there such a thing as an invisible body? Is Ella Craft over there on the front row and we just don't see her? Is she invisible? No, there's old Ella Craft. Right back there. I see Adelaide Ross. Can't hardly miss her. But the point I'm making is, when you look at a human body, it has features. It has a head, arms, legs. It's all put together. It's all located in one place. That's what a church is. It's a body that's put together, that's made up of many members, and it's a local, visible assembly of baptized believers. It's not a building. It's an assembly of believers. All right? That are baptized, that are under the headship of Christ, that are commissioned to carry out the Great Commission. So, I can honestly say that Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church is the body of Christ that assembles here. And the gifts of the Spirit are put in this body for us to carry out the Great Commission and to do the work of the Lord. Let's look. These gifts were given to the church to profit the body. Ephesians. I don't believe for a minute in a universal invisible body. I don't believe in a universal invisible church. Because the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, I believe that there is a family of God that's spread all over the world, some on earth, some in heaven. But that's not the church. The church actually assembles, it actually observes the ordinances, it actually hears the commands of Christ through the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word. It collects tithes and offerings, it sends out missionaries, it practices the Word of God. It assembles on the Lord's Day as a church. Ephesians chapter 4. Why were these gifts given? He gave some, for verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's telling the Ephesian church, this is what you are aspiring to become. A mature body of believers who are exercising these and using these spiritual gifts to have unity and to spread the truth. Now, these gifts were given to the church for spiritual development. And you can read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14. Oh, let's just go there. We're not in a hurry. We can take this up next week, too, if we have to. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now think about how ludicrous the idea of a universal invisible church is. It would be composed of so many different belief systems that it could never unify. See, I believe that there are actually saved people who are saved in spite of the doctrines that they've been taught and that they hold to. If you believe on Christ, if you trust Him, you're saved. And yet, there are people that are in serious error. Well, they're not part of the church. Let's go on. If verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, and notice this. This is why I never beg people to join our church. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. It's the Lord's work to add people to the body. Not the preacher, not members coercing people. It's the Lord. And if they were one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely or beautiful parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now notice one of the purposes of these gifts and the unity of the body. that there should be no schism in the body. That is only possible. That would be impossible in the mythical, spooky, universal, invisible church. There's all kinds of schisms among professing Christianity. But in the local church, there should be no schisms. We all ought to be in agreement about Christ, about the Great Commission, about the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and how we operate as a church. We should be in agreement on that. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ. He is telling this to the church of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And members in particular. Now, verse 28, get this phrase. And God hath set some in the church. He doesn't set everybody in the church. He set some in the church. The first ones were apostles. They were the first members of that first church. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And he talks about these gifts. Now, you know what? That's a good place to stop, because I got a lot more to say about this. We'll pick up there next week, God willing. Let's see, what is next week? Next week, September. Oh, wow.